So start with the with this Rambam. The Rambam grapples with this question that all of the Torah talks about reward for mitzvahs and punishment for averas. It's always in physical sense, physical terms. This worldly terms. What happened to Olam Haba and all that? That doesn't seem to make it into the picture. And the Rambam is this Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah. He says after I already clarified very clearly that that's not the reality. The reality is that the Einish is in Olam Haba. The Ikar Einish is in Olam Haba. The Ikar Schar is in Olam Haba. So what's this parashas B'chukosai that very clearly is tying it into this world? So that's his question in the first paragraph. So the second paragraph says L'kachi Hechra Shalotibur Kol Tibur. This is what it's about. The person gave us a Torah. You learn the Torah, you do the mitzvahs, you have a ticket to Olam Haba. The better you're at it, the more you get. Fine. If our approach to Torah is we're excited about doing it, we do it b'simcha. And we're going to dedicate ourselves to this because it's something which is valuable to us and important to us. So the Russian will take away all impediments. So these things mentioned in the parasha are impediments to our avodah. The haftach over here is if this is what you really want, I'll take away the impediments. So the reward for your actions will be an Olam Haba. But I'm being maftiach you that I will help you. If this is the path that you want to go, I'll make it that much easier for you. And the Russian will give us our needs. I won't have to spend my day trying to take care of my basic needs. Because I can take care of those very easily. I have the wealth and resources to do that. So therefore, I won't be distracted and forced to spend my time on those type of things, and I can spend my time in avodas Hashem. Right. So the pasuk continues and says, after that avtocha, and it'll be a tremendous merit if we keep the mitzvahs. I mean, that was the starting point. He said, if you do the mitzvahs, this is what you get. And by the way, it's very good if you do this, the mitzvahs. Like, we already said that. So what's it repeating a second time? It's a parsha of Yitzchak. It's repeating that you should do the mitzvahs. You're going to get this because this will facilitate doing the mitzvahs. That's the point. Not that this is the reward. This is not the reward. This is a way to facilitate a person to do the mitzvahs. Now, the printing of this was cut off. I haven't figured out why it's doing that. Cut off a few lines at the bottom. But then he says, the second half of the picture is a fascinating thing. So now a person doesn't do mitzvahs. So the Russian brings all these things which are going to now be impediments to doing mitzvahs. So it's not only do the person end up not getting tzchar olam haba and getting an oinish olam haba, the person doesn't make it. If you choose that path, the person will make it that much harder for the person to do mitzvahs. That's really the second half of the picture. So the person doesn't. So you're going to have rov, you're going to have mochama, and you're going to have it's all these sorrows, and you're going to be running away. It's very hard to be focused on the mitzvahs when you're focusing on just survival. So that's how the Rambam understands the whole story. Then he says, in the next page, he says, so now take this concept and understand Mashiach. The Rambam says that's why the second paragraph on the next page. They said, Nisabu kol Yisrael in the V.A.M. v'chachameyam li'mosim Mashiach. K'dei sh'yunuchu mi'malchiyus she'en manichus l'on olasik b'tara u'mitzis gohegen. The Mor says, there's a machlokes in the Mor what's going to happen in the Mosim Mashiach. Shmuel says, "Ein ben elam azel de Mosim Mashiach el shibim malchus b'lvav." The only difference between now and Mashiach comes is going to be there'll be no, the nations of the world will have no power over Klal Yisrael. They will not be oppressed by Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael can live a normal functioning life and do mitzvahs. That's basically what the Rambam says. Mercy of Mashiach is not the time of reward. Time of reward is Olam Haba. Rambam Shita is. So Tchiyas Meisim is not immediately after Mashiach comes. That's a whole other stage of the world. That's a stage. That period is a period of reward. But Mercy of Mashiach is a period of time which the Rambam understands the Kaiser will continue to accrue Torah mitzvahs. And therefore, the reason we desire Moshe Mashiach is it'll be a time where this will be removed from the impediments will be removed, and we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. The Yitzhalon of Margoya, we will be able to relax. We are Rebbe Chochma, therefore we're able to spend more time understanding Chochma. And we'll get more reward. If you show us the Yomim, Terba Hada Adeya B'Chochma Be'emes, there'll be tremendous understanding. No person will need to teach somebody else because everybody will understand it themselves. The Mashiach is going to be greater than Shlomo in knowledge. Navi Gadol will carve the Moshe, and he'll be a Navi as well, not greater than Moshe, but close to Moshe. He will teach Klai what to do. The Goyim will come to hear as well. It'll be well established. Everybody's going to want to come and hear. It's a normal world. Everything's functioning the same. El Shamalchus, Tachshul Yisrael, Klaus will reestablish their Malchus and the basic mikdash, etc. The Karama Chacham Rishon, which is the Mishmul, Ain Ben Alamazel, the Mosav Sheikh Lashiva Malchus Mavat. So the Rama says that that's what a person is anticipating when Mashiach comes. Rabbi Miller Zatzal was once expounding on this. It says, Mashiach's going to come. Mumusalim will take over all of the physical needs. So, Christ will be able to sit and learn. So, now, if a person enjoys sitting and learning, this is great, right? A person doesn't enjoy sitting, he enjoys being involved in business. Mumusalim can take over the business. Right? So, he says, this person has problems sitting and learning for an hour. Imagine he has 16 hours a day to learn. What's supposed to happen? So somebody said, do you want me to mop? He said back to do you want me to mop? Wait for Mashiach. I said, listen, I'm not, do whatever you want. I'm just describing the reality. But the truth is, it's not true. It's incorrect. The point is that the reality of the world will be so clear that the person will want at that point in time. It's even a person who right now finds difficulty. It's not interesting to him, it's not important to him, etc. When Mashiach comes, he'll understand that the understanding of the what the world is about will be clear, and therefore a person will want so that issue of I can't sit and learn an hour straight nowadays. How am I supposed to sit and learn 16 hours a day when Mashiach comes? Is not a kash, because when Mashiach comes you'll want to sit and learn 16 hours a day. Reminds me that one of the Russian czars, I think it was one of the Russian czars, says, according to you Jews, it says when your Mashiach comes, that all of the kings of the world are going to come and bow in front of him. He says, what happens to me if I don't bow? I don't want to bow. I'm proud of your Jewish. So he asked one of the Pichim and Klal Yisrael, the Chacham, he says, that he won't be Mashiach. The real Mashiach, you're going to want to bow. If you don't want to bow, it means he's not Mashiach. There's nothing to talk about. Either you will bow, or if you don't, it means he wasn't Mashiach. End the conversation. Right? There's no answers back there. There's no debate after that conversation. You realize, something like they have like debate stoppers. Like Reuben, Shimon arguing. Reuben says, that I'm right. Shimon says, yeah, you're right. You can't keep fighting. Right? The husband says, the wife says to the husband, you weren't nice. The husband says, you're right. It wasn't nice.
The fight's over.
Like the husband says, I know I was nice. I give an excuse why I did it. So I said, no, you're wrong. They have a back and forth. The husband says, you got a good point. The taco wasn't nice. I apologize. And my wife complains that I'm very boring to fight with. Usually she has a good point. Taka wasn't being sensitive enough. So I apologize. You're right. Try me better next time. I mean, she's right. So what am I supposed to do? Fight with her with Afka? Okay. So Mashiach comes, according to the Rambam. But the point of the Rambam is that the desire is, it's not a world of schar. But it's this concept, which we're saying over here, that the Bereshit, part of the reward for acting appropriately is that the Bereshit will facilitate that. So it's along the lines of the concept which Chazal say, that if a person has a true desire to go a certain way, the Bereshit will facilitate that. And the Moreh says it works both ways. That a person is poskel. If a person wants to make himself tame, the Bereshit will allow him to do that. He's saying over here, it's even more than he'll allow him to do that, but the Rebbeim at some point will actually say, you sleep in the bed that you made. You don't want to do Torah mitzvahs, so I'm going to make it hard for you to do Torah mitzvahs. Reb Dester says, he doesn't talk about this Rambam per se, but he says the following thought. The Moreh says, the person should ask the Torah mitzvah shalom lishma, shalom lishma, bo lishma. He spoke about this one time, I think. He says, but what do you do with a person who never comes to Lishma? I mean, there are people which they, their whole life, they do it because that's what the Tata did, that's what the Zayda did, not because I really want it. So there's not, Lishma is the desire. The Rambam says that Lishma, the Rambam later on in Hilchos Shavuot, the Rambam says that Lishma is the expression of Ahava. I really want this. That's what Lishma means. I really want this. I really want to do this. I really want to know this. I really want it. Sholishma means I don't really want this. I'd be rather sleeping, but the mice, if I learn, I get covered, so I'll do it. I mean, that's really what Sholishma means. Because if you really enjoy learning, I don't need the covered. If I really want this knowledge, right? I have the like a billion havdalahs. Like there's some people enjoy sports statistics. I had a friend, the guy was walking encyclopedia about, every single baseball player. He could tell you, all of his information. Why? He enjoyed it. Right? So he didn't, there was a certain amount, I'm sure he, at some point, he made a reputation for himself, so he had to keep up his reputation. So it was a shlo lishma also, because it's covered, But he wanted to know this information. Nobody had to make him do it. So how come when it comes to learning, because I don't understand the value of learning. What exactly is the value? So you know what? Learn Shalom Lishma. Do mitzvah Shalom Lishma. But you cannot maintain a reality. That's not a reality. That's not real. It has to come to Lishma eventually. So, but if there's generation after generation of Shalom Lishma, comes Churban. Where it says, this can't work. It says, and then, and that matzah, the people who will do it, they're doing it because they really want it. And that'll be the tikkun. So the marshal, he says this in Russia. The situation deteriorated to the point where the marshal says, "It can't continue like this. We can't continue with people just doing it because. Why are you doing it? Because." End the conversation. No desire, no interest, no understanding, etc. The marshal says, "I'm going to make it very hard. You know what's going to happen? The people will do it even under those circumstances. Those people are not doing it because the Zaydi did it, because the Bobby, they're not doing it because of that. The person, Elio Esses, who became a Baal Tshuva in the 1960s in Russia, instead of keeping Torah mitzvahs, he wasn't doing it because, he's getting covered out of it. Because that's what the Zaydi did. He was doing it because he really wanted this. He really believed in it. Right? That's Lishma. He says, Shalom Lishma cannot maintain itself. It has to get to a point of Lishma. So the Rambam here says that a person really wants it, the Baruch says, I'll facilitate. If you don't, if you're doing the opposite, what you're really saying is you don't want it. The person says, I'm going to make it very hard. What's going to happen is under those circumstances, some people will then do tshuva and say, you know what, I do really want it. And that's going to be a tikkun for everybody else. He's adding this whole new point, right? It reestablishes the whole attitude. One of the other said, what really destroyed Russia. Right, the excuse of these people doing tshuva, we don't know what the words mean. I told you my story about we were going to Russia, right? We were supposed to go to Russia. My family was supposed to go. They were in the 70s and 80s. They were sending clandestinely couples to Russia to teach these people. There was a whole, underground movement of people learning Torah, etc. And my wife and I were slated to go. And my mother-in-law found out about it, and she wouldn't let us go. She was a survivor, and she says her language was, the ground is saturated with Jewish blood. You cannot step on it. I'm not going to let you go there. She was supposed to be scared, also. So the couple went instead of us, just to get a picture of what it meant. The couple went instead of us. They come into Moscow airport. They separate the husband from the wife. They take the wife into a room. She walks into a room and there's 8 soldiers with guns pointed straight at her for like a minute, but no, expressionless, no, nothing, just intimidate her. That's like the Shalom Aleichem. We're here to intimidate you. That was the Shalom Aleichem to Russia, right? We were told, we got the briefing before the briefing. They got the same briefing. You weren't allowed to, halachically, you're not allowed to talk in your hotel room on Shabbos because you're talking to a microphone. That was a fact. Although the hotel rooms were bugged. So it's a secret. You're talking into a microphone on Shabbos. You're not allowed to talk in your hotel room on Shabbos. Not that you said so much Shabbos at the time. It says but during the week, if you had a conversation about something, you'd go into the bathroom and you'd flush the toilet, and while the water was making the noise, you would talk quietly to each other. You would discuss what you had to discuss, because otherwise it's going to be... So they're being tailed. She says the story that they were being followed by some a KGB fellow. So he was listening to their conversation. So at some point in time, she turns around. She was getting annoyed. This guy's following her. She says, she asked him a question in English. She says, I don't understand. Obviously he did understand. That's why he was there. But he's pretending like I'm not listening. I don't understand anything what you're saying. So a little while later, further on, her husband's name is Shloimes. She says, Shloimes, it's snowing. She turns around and sees the guy looking up. And the guy realized that she just blew his cover. So he just turned red and ran away. But that was reality. So these people were mamish. They were learning Torah. So one of the Dalim said, what brought down Russia was the schools of these people learning Torah. They were threatened constantly. One of the people from Cleveland, Rav Fishman Zichel Bracha, he went to teach. They took him into a forest. These agents, they beat him up. And you have 24 hours to leave the country. They physically beat him, and usually they wouldn't touch American citizens, but apparently, whatever reason, they decided this time to show, make a show. It wasn't the only one. There was somebody else. Said notice that your visa expires in 24 hours. You must get out of the country. He had Haley from Moscow. He was in St. Petersburg. It was crazy. It was real. So that schus of people learning Torah, why? Because they want Torah. No other reason. That's lishma. So the Rama is saying that the Russian will facilitate that, and if you mess it up, you're going to lose that. But meanwhile, what happened here is, which we have to go back to this other issue. So the Russian facilitates Torah. So look at the Ram over here. It should be in your packet. I put it in, I think. I did. I didn't put this in. The famous Rambam in the Shmita Yovel, the Rambam in the Shmita Yovel, Perek Gimel, almost the end of the Shmita Yovel. The Rambam in general, the end of each one of the halachas that he has like one last halacha to him. Not always, but there's like a Musar thought, or a Machshava thought, etc. There's actually a Sefer which came out in the 70s or 80s. It was a leakot of all of the Musar Shmuzin of the Rambam in Yad Chazaka. Like, you know, he put it together, like everything, like these everything. So then the end of Shittu Yavel, he says like this. Avalama lo zocha Levi benachos Eretz Yisrael bebizoso imechov. Why was Levi not zecha to get a portion of Eretz Yisrael and to go to get the booty of war, etc.? They should hope the labor is Hashem. Shem Levi was set aside for what is Hashem. To serve Kadosh Baruch Hu, the harvest, the rock of Hayishar, Mishpat of Tzadikim, the Rabbim, and to teach Klal Yisrael. Therefore, they were separated out from the being involved in the physical needs. They don't go to war. What they're getting is not based on their physical efforts. Alahem Chel Hashem, they're Hashem's army. The Baruch Hu takes care of their needs. That's Palachah Yud Beis. Palachah Yud Gimel. V'lo Shevet Levi Bovad. This is not limited to Shevet Levi alone. Elo Kol Ish B'Ish. Mikol Bo Yoylam. Any person, Asher Nod V'Rucha Yisrael, which he has this, he comes and has this desire to offer himself. V'vino Midait Mado L'Yibod Ola, to separate his Lama D'Fnei Hashem L'Shar Se Lo'Evdei. He wants to serve Hashem Baruch Hu. The day is Hashem. Baruch Yosher Kamashir Soa Lakim Park Me Out. Some of the Rami doesn't waste focus on the physical needs, money, etc. Those type of things. Shabbik Shemayim, which people are interested in. Raising his Kaddish Kadoshim. So he is sanctified. V'yeshem Chelka Menachlosi Lelam Ulalam Elamim. Bereshim will be his portion in the world to come. V'yizkaloy Baylam Azeh Davar Hamaspek Loy Kamashir Zochel Lakanim Levi. And he'll get his needs. So it's interesting lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person really does this, the person will take care of his needs. Allow him to sit and learn. So that really parallels the Rambam over here. That if you really do this right, the person says, I will make sure that you have what you need to facilitate. But over here the Rambam says, love is never a maspik loy. The psukim over here, which talk about Olam Haz, are way beyond Dabar HaMaspik Loy. You know, the Rashi talks about, you know, there's going to be so much tavua, you have no way to deal with it, but the tavua anymore. Right, because it's going to be a tremendous amount of bracha. That's not the Ramaspik Loy, that's way beyond that. So the question that comes, how do we react to this, you know, this tremendous bracha? The Ramaspik Loy means not too much and not too little. Good. But the Psukim's promise is way beyond that. Klal Yisrael, the people of Klal Yisrael would be quite wealthy. So what's with that? What's that about? So that's what I want to touch on a little bit tonight. So turn to the page that has Mitzvos HaShel Rabbeinu. It's about four pages. Yeah, two more pages open. So this is pieces from the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Livracha. So he says, "Eshlam apiy amavur b'storm hakadosh in the sign ha'oisher gadol yosim in sign ha'oni." Serving Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're wealthy is harder than serving Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're not. We have Mr. Sherman in the packet. Mr. Sherman says that the whole world. Right, last page. Second last page. So, Shishron Pelikarov, the second paragraph, or third paragraph, probably. We live in a world where there's many things which can distract us, distance us from Hashem. That's the desires which the Russian put in this world. Where there's tremendous battle. everything, whether it's good or bad, you know, being poor is an isoyin, being rich is an isoyin also. If I become satisfied, become very wealthy, I will deny Hashem. I don't need Hashem. I got all my money. I don't need it anymore. Penny Varesh, but if I become impoverished, we're going to have to. I'll steal. So, like, that's not great either. Right? Having everything go well is a tremendous nisoyin. So, like, I don't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything go great. When the saying goes, there's no atheists in foxholes. Right? Because when it's really scary, you daven. Which means it's not really scary. Sometimes some people don't daven. That's shalva. That's the challenge of shalva. On the other hand, the person has yisurim, so the people who are buried by yisurim, people just, you know, can't deal with it. You know, there's yisurim is a mitzaracher. Hashem is a mechal, my love, panamacher. You can't leave the war. Whatever your matzav is, it's a challenge. The question is, which was the bigger challenge, Arni or Isha? So that was the Rebbe. That was the Rebbe saying. The Torah Kodesh say that Nisayon HaOisher Gadol Mi Yerusim Nisayon HaOni HaOni. Okay, so I once heard, and I cannot remember from whom. Maybe it was Rabbi Yaakov, that he said that, you know, this is still showing that Oni and Oisher. He says, but historically, Klai Yisrael has done better with the Nisayon of Oni than the Nisayon of Oisher. Spain was the Nisayon of Oisher. Germany was the Nisayon of Oisher. Any place where things went good for the Jews, they started assimilating. Every time things were bad for the Jews, they didn't assimilate. So historically, Klai Yisrael did better with the Nisayon of Oni, of difficulty, etc., than the Nisayon of Oisher. So that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. The Nisayon of Oisher is God of Yosef and Nisayon of Oni. Then he's mechadish that there's two types of osher. There's osher which a person gets based on his mazel, and there's the osher which he gets because of special brichas Hashem, and that's why Avraham Avinu. You know, that's the piece I'm not going to give up on the piece. So I don't know how you know which one it is, but perhaps the point then would be the Rambam's point over here is that when Klai Yisrael's doing mitzvahs, and the Rosh Hashanah gives to Klai Yisrael Osher as a reward for doing the mitzvahs, as a way to facilitate more mitzvahs, the Russian will give it in a way that it won't detract and distract from his avodas Hashem. A lot of times money does distract and detract from avodas Hashem. I think we spoke last time we spoke about this, we spoke about the lottery. You know, my wife has a Gemalda Moshul about, you know, for the lottery. It says winning the lottery is a lot of people tell you, you know, if I would win the lottery, I'd give like so much money to Stalka, I would do such good things, and I would share with all my, you know, siblings, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe those people didn't win the lottery yet, but so far, as far as I understand, even those people who say that when they win the lottery, it doesn't work like that always. Right? It's not easy. Adam Rishon, before the Chet, he had a good cash, but he said, you know, Eitei Tzedas, and I'll have the Yetzer inside of me, and I'll overcome it, and I'll get tremendous Kiddush Hashem by doing so. Problem is, the Swarm said, he couldn't understand from outside that world what it means to have a Yetzer inside of you. He says, that's exactly the mushroom here, to have to understand what it means to win the lottery. From the outside looking in, yeah, I can handle that. But when you're living it, you don't understand. You have no way to understand from the outside what it means to live that Nisoy. There are Yechida, obviously, who, you know, would be fine. Those are usually people who are not buying lottery tickets. Uh-huh. You know. But Osher is a tremendous Nisoyan. Okay, that's one piece from the Sotmer Rebbe, which I wanted to point out to you. He says it was... take a look over here. So because I'll say there's a funny Gemara. Aser taser, the Gemara says aser b'shul shetisa asher. take Meister in order you should become rich. The Morse says, are you allowed to do a mitzvah for that purpose? He says, this mitzvah point you're allowed to do, b'chilun yino b'zois, you have the Torah from the Shabbos HaGadol, right? Moshe says, test me with this. If you do give the mitzvah tzedakah properly, you will see that you're enriched. Test me. The Torah Meister over there. If you give the Meister properly, you'll be. So, Mamash, you're allowed to. Where else do we find? Verse says, take Meister in order that you should become rich. That's like Shlo Lishma. Take Meister because the mitzvah Hashem, not because you want to become rich. It's a funny Gemara. So what's the pshat? The purpose over here of a shiris is if a person is doing it, to have a rakav as a shemis bar, kadesh shiti upon the esek atar lekiyam mitzvahs. Therefore, the chari egi talking shetava kosa lekayim a mitzvah amanas a kavu pras mishil sisis hasher. The pasuk says v'simatim chalatoyv kiyam tayv alatara. So again, the thing, a piece is cut off. Oh, I think it might. My original copy of wasn't cut off. One second. I don't know why. What changed? I made the earlier copy early today, and I did it again. V'ikir Hashir Tzarich Lavodes Hashem Yisborach. Asher Mashi Ezer Moshe Yisrael Hashem. We recognize that the Rambam says you need sometimes to have this wealth to do for Avodas Hashem. So that should be your. Asher, not because, so well, I can enjoy myself having money. So now that I have money, I can do what it says, yeah. So it's the Shema. The Kiddush over here is, I have a right to take Meister in order to, as it were, force a Kiddush Baruch Hu's hand to facilitate my avoidance of Hashem by giving me money. That's how he understands it. So, there was one other piece which I wanted to look at.
People that don't bring the full Meister, they're. It's an Avera, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, finish your thought.
We're learning. So therefore, I mean, it's like when the Shem says, you know, bring the full Meiser, test me and bring the full Meiser.
Right.
I mean, it's... you got to be a Chote in order not to get that Bracha. You got to, like, mamish not give a full tenth in order not to get... If you have a farm...
Okay.
It's going on like the Dereza Meiser.
Correct. Yeah.
So, all right. I mean, I'm sort of under the impression that everybody did all the mitzvahs correctly back in the day.
You know, okay. So maybe you should realize that wasn't so. They had Yetzer Hara those days, and money, giving away money was very hard. And the merchant says, you know what? Don't do that. Give the money, and I'll give you a bracha. And you know what? Test me. This way, your soil will be less. Right. Now we did this piece last time. I just want to look at it again. It's on the, where is it? It's in your page. Tafim Zion. Is it in there? Yeah. We did this piece last time. It says. The Morris says that an usher, the nature of a shir is that they're mechamsim, that they're stingy. He says, the chara, that doesn't make any sense. Usually we think that a niyim should be stingy because since they don't have so much, they don't want to give it away. A shir have so much, like why not give some of it away? Like what's the big kunz? I said, what's the pshat? So he said it like this. So... The Rambam says when a person has a meter raw, the way you overcome the meter raw is by going to the other extreme. So a person who has a problem being stingy needs for a period of time to become very open-handed, beyond normal, to get used to the idea of giving away, and then he can go back to the middle, which is to be balanced sometimes. Yes, sometimes no, you have to make decisions, etc. But if a person's stingy and he goes to the middle, he'll end up being stingy again, because it'll pull back to being stinginess. So the opposite of a compensator is a positive. He just throws money out easily. The person's an ani, he doesn't have the money to throw it easily. So Baruch Hashem did a chesed, the people who have an inclination to be kamsonim, the Baruch Hashem, those people that made the mashirim, they would have the vehicle to be able to work on their meters. The people on their hands who are not kamsonim, they don't need to have the mashirim to be able to work on their meters, because they have other things they have to work on. So it's not the pshat is that the people who are shirim therefore became kamsonim. The people are kamsonim. The Russian was a baal chesed. It says, "I know you're going to have to work on your meters. The way you work on meters is by going to the other extreme, and you need the resources to do that. So I'll give you the resources to do that." That's how we understand this pshat in the Gemara. So it's like the point he's saying is we start with there's a physical reality, and then we deal with the meters. He's saying no. The first step is we deal with our meters. And the Russian creates a physical reality to help us deal with our meters.
So does that mean you're born with a mita, or it's just that you develop?
I don't know.
It's like you're getting rewarded for being a kamsan.
Who said it's a reward? It's a fascinating way to look at the world. The way you look at the world, he's saying that the first step is the reality of Torah mitzvahs, and the Bereshit is going to manipulate the world to facilitate, help you in doing what you have to do. Okay, there's a piece of the Kol Yoyetz, which he starts off with the same idea, basically. Let's see, I can read it to you. That's mine, also good color. It's not a dad. So the Kol Yoyetz says, Ashiras hu nisan chazim min aniyus. Again, this idea that Ashiras is much more challenging than aniyus. Person who's an usher can end up with a lot of problems. He shouldn't be a balgaiva. Even the melech has Yisrael, he shouldn't think he's better than the people. So if the melech has an avera, all of Kaisel has an avera because you're talking not better than me, right? So but the usher thinks that he is. That's a lav. Every regular he has that thing, that thought. He's ever loved. By Yana Azus, the pastor says, Usher Yana Azus, he talks to people in a condescending way. Vizaka Oni Bashar, well, Yehe Oitim, Ozam, Izakas Dao. The pastor says, the person who doesn't listen to Zakas Dao, wonderful things happen to him. Rakshamoya Yishma Sakosa, Psach Yiftakas Yodoy, he has a chiyuv to open his hand. He has to give. Vanik Yanakeyo, he has to help him. Demashashay Yasaloy, as much as the person needs. This fellow is fabulously wealthy. He's got tremendous amount of chiyuvim. I told you the mice with the Rissos Salanter, with his wife's lottery ticket. Rissos Salanter's wife one time bought a lottery ticket. So Rissos was heard about it. He wasn't there when she did it. So he got two talmidim together. So they should be eidus. He says, "Dinu d'varim ainli b'nixa ishti b'perisay and b'perisay not arav." Says, "What's this about?" So Moore says that before the woman receives something, the husband has the power to take off his rights to get it. Once she has it, that doesn't work. Because the more they're getting the parakakosim and ksubas, right? Yeah. But before the money comes in, he has ability to prevent his skus in it. So he says, "My wife, let's say she wins the lottery, so it means I own all the money. I have tremendous achrayus of tzedakah, but I can't just give tzedakah to people. I have exalt in the city who need. I can't give it to people who don't need, because that'll take care of the money I have for the people who do need. So I have to check out every ani, make sure that he really deserves the money, because it shouldn't be stealing from the other niyam who need. I spend my whole day busy worrying about this, doing sucker properly. I have other things I want to do in my life right now. So Brusha, please, I don't want to have anything to do with this money. I shouldn't have all these chiyuvim, which the money would be mechayim me, which would be matching me from other things I want to work on." That was his thought process. Right? Ashiris is a tremendous achrayus. So he says, you have menamish, tremendous avarice over here. Tiyar psucha, lahaksik biyadlam netara, lamas b'kayim b'kayishle, support people which are having difficulty in their life. L'yishamach doiflam, habuos, chen b'chesed, l'haris b'mitzvahs, l'maisim taibim, kibrech l'shem shanosala, you have opportunity to do mitzvahs nicely, more mitzvahs, etc. You have so much you could do with money. Well, l'olam yechrad, v'yilofis b'maisim, b'as nakdim ben gurion. The ma'isi v'shas, the more ksubas, the more ksubas brings a ma'isa over there, a ma'isa l'mayru. Right? The more says that Rechem Azakia was once walking out of Yerushalayim after the Churban, and he sees a young woman picking out kernels of grain from the dung of an animal. She was so impoverished, she was picking out the kernels, she'd wash them off, and she'd grind them, and she'd make food out of it, from the dung of the animal, because the animal eats food, so not everything gets digested. It's like, I mean, that's like the lowest of the low of the low. Right? So she saw Rechem and Zaka. She went over to Rechem and Zaka and she said, you know, Rebbe Pranasani, help me, I need help. I mean, obviously that's what she's at. She needs help. Bas mihat. She says, she was the daughter of Natim Ben Gurion. Rechem and Zaka says, I remember I sat in your ksuba. I was 8 in your ksuba. How big was her ksuba? The money the father, you know, promised to bring, the nada the father committed. The ksuba doesn't mean the Messiah Zuz. That's, you know, the Iker Kiddush of ksuba, Mizman Chazal, was what's known as the Nadin and the Tosefis. The Nadin is what the woman brings into the marriage, and the husband takes possession of it, and Zmachai, if he divorces her, he will return the value of it. And then the husband commits to give a certain amount of his own. If she's bringing that amount of the marriage, someone's going to meet her, like, you know, with a certain amount of money also. Nowadays, Ashkenazim, they do a set amount. But there's one chazal, they would sit there and they would estimate what she's bringing to the marriage. So Morse says that the isan and your ksuba, what you brought into the marriage, was elef alofim, it was 1,000 of 1,000 of dinari zahav. Dinner's off is worth 25 dinar kesef. Right? So a dinar kesef is a zuz. Morris says a person for food, clothing, shelter, everything one person can live on 200 zuz in a year. So dinner's off is 25. So it means 8 dinar zahav is pushing the cost of living for one person for a year. Now do the math, 1,000 of 1,000, it's 1,000,000 dinar zahav. But that was what she was bringing into the marriage. Right? Her father kept money for himself also. Right? And now she's holding by, like, you know, picking. So Morse says, what happened? The Morse says, he didn't give stalker. Morse says, he didn't give stalker. Morse says, he gave tremendous amounts of stalker. He didn't give as much as he could have. According to his, the Morse says, the saying, the gamel shechna, according to the strength of the camel, that's the load you put on him. So he can do more. He's mechiv to do more. He didn't do more, so he lost it. So he says you shouldn't forget that story. It's an important story to remember. Maybe you didn't do enough. Okay. Then he says the next page. If he does give, okay. So now you finally got the guy. He gives a lot of stuff. He's mamash taka. Gives tremendous amounts. But the first line over there is the other line. I'm such a wonderful person. I'm just telling you, I give the stalker. I give like half of my income to stalker. Like, okay. And that's the shaloi. The Russia gave the money that you should pass it on to the neim. So you were a good boy, and you did your shlichus to pass it on. I'm such a tzaddik. I did my shlichus. Really? Well, let's just talk. You'll get reward for because baruch. Fine, etc. Right. Then he says, you should be nice to them and speak to them nicely, etc. Immediately, we ended a paragraph. This is Pashat, your portion of life is to be able to give. That's it. So give. Now, if you have a lot of money, so you don't have to work so much. My basic, we ask the Batara. Next paragraph. Well, Yoram Levavoy, you shouldn't be a bad guy. You're not made out of money. You're made out of flesh and blood, like everybody else. But you don't keep the money for everybody. You leave this world empty-handed. There's no difference. In the ground, they're all the same. Va'omer Sharosh Tavis Asher stands for Yashmel Atzmai Shetikvasi Rima. Not in that order, but then he says, look at the next thing. He says, if you have money, you should use it for you, take care of you. Don't starve yourself. You should have a nice house. Not exaggerated, not mugzam. I have a lot of money. It's like, I'm gonna build a 47 room mansion. I never really got that. how many bedrooms do you need? You sleep the first hour in the bedroom one, the second hour in bedroom two, right? One of the big dialogue one time said, he says, the fellow says he has, he says, you only have one mouth, only so much you can eat. What's the glick over here? I don't get it, So the money, the food I get a little bit, eat now, eat later, But beds I don't get, But Derechim saw your person should have a nice house. Shielo Yishav Lavaris Barai Lakab Orchim. A nice place to do the Baruch Hashem. It's a place you have room to have guests. You should spend money. That you should make your life more, a little bit easier. Don't be stingy. Hire some workers. Now you have more time to learn. Right? So. If you be really cheap and stingy, so you do everything yourself, so you end up in the sakonic situations. You're traveling where there's bandits, danger, etc. That was part of the reality. You should live nicely. So if you say, I don't want to waste the money, so I'd rather, I'll fix my car myself. Pay the mechanic and go to base manage. Gaval in the belt, You should talk and make it a little bit easier in your life. And then mainly you'll have Alam Haba also, because you'll have money to spend on stock. But you also have money to have time to learn. So he's not saying it's treif, It's just like get it straight. So the goal of Rabbi Aaron spoke on Shabbos. He says that one of the challenges we have in our society is we confuse action and purpose. Why do people go to work? Because they have to take care of their needs. Right. Have to pay. Need a place to live. I need food. I need clothing. I need children's education, etc. But the Maisa, the whole week you're not busy. You're busy making money. The reason why you're making money is for all these other purposes. But at the end of the day, you're spending time thinking about making money. Eventually, money becomes the focus. So the action becomes the purpose. The ways, the means becomes, all of a sudden becomes the purpose. Says that's the mistake. So this person says, okay, so the Russian gave me a shiris that's to facilitate something more. The person ends up focusing on the fact that he has a shiris. So I need to make more shiris, Right? Thomas Hammer says there's no other place you find such a metzias. Like most people, when I do you a favor, you feel like Kursa Tayyip to give back to me. Here, the person does a person a favor, he gives him money. And instead of giving Matthew Kursa Baruch and learning more, he ends up learning less. Because he's busy with all his money. Don't my investments. There's a Maisa with a Rav. There was a Rav in Pittsburgh in the 20s. It's a mind-boggling story. The end of the story. There's a rub in Pittsburgh. I tell you the story with the rub. There was a rub in Pittsburgh in the 20s. Those that didn't have retirement funds, and everybody this, you know, his kehillah really loved. He was really a very special person. He really took care of the kehillah. Many years, you know, he was there, and they realized, you know, he's getting older. He can't keep this up. So the kehillah got together and they decided to raise money amongst the members that had given him money for his retirement. So they gave him, you have to hear this note, they gave him $30,000. 1920, $30,000 was a hoyden rap. He could live on it for quite some time. The kehillah got very upset. They heard shortly thereafter he was giving away the money. So and once it started, like, you know, became like a whole stream. It says if a Talmid Chacham will come to him, he wants but a seri, give the person $50. Again, that's like, you know, equivalent of like $500 an hour, $1,000. Like, so now there's a lot of people who want to publish short, they're all coming to him, you know. Like, they're spending the $3 to travel on the bus from, you know, whatever to there, you know, to Pittsburgh, you know, walking with $50. Right? And for Moises, he was giving, you know, I think $100. Like, they give him like a tremendous sums of money away to stock. So finally, one of the people in the kilo, like, very upset. Like, you know, we gave it to you, that you should take use it for yourself. You're giving it away. He says, my whole life, my interest in life was Torah mitzvahs. And I spent my time thinking about, you know, learning. I said, you know, when I wasn't busy with anything, I'd think about a kash, I'd think about a teretz. That's where my mind would go. So he gave me this money. All of a sudden I realized, like, you know, so when I had free time, I started thinking about, so how should I invest the money? Should I do this? Should I do that? I should speak to so-and-so, see what he says. Well, maybe I should speak to so-and-so. And my mind was thinking about the money. I don't want my mind to think about the money. I want my mind to think about Torah. So I said, I realized the only solution is I have to give the money away. I can't just give the money away. So I'll give it away for good purposes. So I realized, once I give it to a few people, I guarantee that it'll go very quickly. Because people will start coming and asking. Right? It was a fascinating thought process. Now, I actually am scared about winning a lottery. So I don't buy lottery tickets because I'm scared if I might win. So then I thought about, you know, the truth is, starting the brush will make me not win. That's a waste of money, to buy the dollar to buy the ticket. It's a manusha. If I win, I talk it might win, I don't want to win. And if I'm not going to win anyway, so why should I waste my money on a ticket? So, once all the Yetzirah comes along and says, you know, it's not so big, you know, it's really big, I'm like, push it, I'm not going to get it back. Like, it's too scary. I can handle $20 million, you know. I think, maybe. I don't know. The HR says, I don't know. So every once in a while, when it's really low, I think I may have to buy a ticket. But the reality is, what he was saying is, once you have that money, like, you know, like, you gotta figure out something to do with it. What do you do with it? Now, like, people say that if they win, you know, that their life becomes, you know, misery. Because all of a sudden, everybody wants... You know, they have all these friends and they never knew that they had, you know, wound up, you know, and this cousin, and this cousin, all of a sudden, people they're friendly with are upset at them. You didn't give me money, or you didn't give me enough money. Why'd you give? You gave him more money. So you don't have friends anymore. Or you have friends, you always wonder, are they really friends with them because you want the money? Like, especially you lose your social life. So they had to do it, so you have to do it, like, nobody should know about it. Like, okay, so now, so you fine, you put it, you in Maryland, you can get the money anonymously. You don't have to publicize that you got it. It doesn't mean that there isn't the place that sold it didn't have a security camera to see, figure out who it was, you know. Okay, so they don't figure it out. And you go to collect the money, you go with a mask. Because there's somebody in Maryland did that. So what do you do with the money? You put it in the bank so that the teller's going to figure out, you know, you can put it, the broker knows. So he won't tell, right? Okay, now you're not going to be making a nice house because the people will know. So you leave the house the same. So what do you do with the money? Like, you know, so you give charity. Okay, fine. Yeah, right. So you sit there figuring out how am I going to do it secretively? LMI, and then if you do it not like that, so then you figure out how do I deal with all the people that are driving me crazy? So it's scary. But $20 million, I think I can handle. Anyway. you know, I'll give this nephew this money. You know, every money has to get to him. That's the plan, you know. And then give the Yeshiva a little money. So I, one thing I can tell you though, that I told you Rabbi Kronglass, they asked him, what would he do if he won the lottery?
At yeshiva. Yeah.
He said he'd pay back the yeshiva every penny he ever received, because he's kosher, that maybe he wasn't, didn't fill his obligations to yeshiva. You know, he was a Christ, yeshiva was a mashgiach. Maybe he could have done more. So in Cain, the money is gzeila. His salary is gzeila. So he'd win the lottery. He'd do a Shabbos gzeila. Like, you heard from the answer, like, what was on his mind? You know, like, you know, the Ehrlichkeit. I tell you one mice. My wife got a phone call 2 weeks ago from a Talmida from Cleveland, who now lives, she's married, lives in Lakewood. So, by my son's Gosna, so she does the makeup. So she did my wife and, you know, my daughter. So she called up to tell us that she overcharged, and she's recrediting back to the credit card the money. How much? 6 cents. My wife said, "What'd you say? 6 cents? 6 cents? Like, you know, 6 pennies? 6 cents?" So my wife says to her, "says Tell your mother in my name that your source of nachas. Thank you very much."
That's a shavu'ot pruta, right?
You know, like the Ehrlichkeit. You know, I overcharged somebody 6 cents. Like, you know, the cost of the phone call and the credit card, return the credit card, the person's time. You know, like Miss Tom, person made Michael 6 cents. You know, right? That's what we, you know, like Miss Tom and Michael. I know there's something about Amazon, but that's not my crisis to give it back, and let them figure out what they want to do with their money. That's their business.